You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.
Welcome to HR Happy Hour number 217, the HR Roundtable. Today's show is sponsored by our friends at Equifax Workforce Solutions, insightful human capital solutions for the HR, payroll, tax, and compliance needs of today's employers. Go to Equifax.com and click on business to see the many ways that Equifax can support managing your workforce. I'm your host, Trish McFarland, and today's episode is being recorded on Thursday, July 9th. It's been a busy couple weeks. I've been traveling a lot, doing a lot of different events. And my co-host, Steve Bowes, and I just returned from ShareManual last week, which was really fun. We were able to talk with over 300 HR leaders and professionals about HR implementation, and that was a 7 a.m. session. So we were actually really surprised, pleasantly, to have that many people interested in HR technology. So it was a good event. This week, actually, Steve is not with me. He is out globetrotting, and he's in, I think, going to Beijing today. He's been all over China the last couple days, it sounds like. But he has, in addition to planning the U.S. HR Tech Conference, has taken on planning the HR Tech Conference in China next year, which I believe is in April. I'm not sure of the firm date on that yet, but April of 2016. So while he's out doing that and sort of working on details of that show, I decided to recruit some guest show hosts and found a couple people who are just going to be excellent today. So we have Paul Hebert and Sarah Brennan on the line, and we may have one other special one join us, if possible. But I thought I'd just let them each introduce themselves, tell you a little bit about them if you're not familiar with them. And why don't we welcome Paul back to the show first. Paul,
well, thank you, Trish. I appreciate that. It's always fun to be on the HR Happy Hour. Unfortunately, we're recording this a little early in the morning for me to actually be at the HR Happy Hour with my bottle of either bourbon, scotch, or whiskey in front of me. But maybe. Who knows, right? But I appreciate the opportunity to get back on the line with you all again and chat it up. As many people know, I've been in the employee engagement recognition reward space for too many years. Let's just put it this way. I'm very experienced. So moving forward, I am in the process of starting some new things. So those announcements will be coming soon, hopefully in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So I'll just leave you all hanging right now and just know that you can still reach me at IncentIntel on Twitter or the_Paul_Hebert on Twitter. So feel free to jump in, follow, connect, talk, chat.
Good. And you know what, Paul, I'll just say we'll probably need to have you back on when you're ready to sort of make your big announcements of what you're working on.
Sure.
But can I at least throw out there that we are working on a special project ourselves. You are joining Steve and I in planning some very special live and in-person and on-location HR Happy Hours in real life. So I think we'll, in the next couple months, have those up and running and people can actually come out and see it live and meet us and have a great time, right?
And there will be whiskey, scotch, and
yes,
or bourbon at those.
That's right. That's right. No, so I guess stay tuned. Coming to a city near you will be at least the three of us trying to have some fun with that. So also with us, Sarah Brennan, one of my best friends in the world. And Sarah, what's up with you?
Hey, so excited to be here. I was trying to think. I think the last time I was on HR Happy Hour was in 2010. Can you believe that? It was.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yep. Back in the way back when. So I am Sarah Brennan. I'm founder of Exceller. We are a talent acquisition consulting and research firm. And like Trish, came out of the analyst type of background, slash practitioner background. And I think as a nice compliment to Paul, my background is on the talent acquisition and talent management side. So we have a nice balance of all aspects of HR. coming in here. But yeah, life is going pretty crazy. And it's my birthday week. So
super
excited. Thank you. Yeah, we celebrate for a whole week. I don't believe in birthdays. You get a full week in our house.
So, I mean, for those who don't know you or haven't met you, so you're still a newlywed, which is really cool. But then can you tell us what your new husband has bought you for your birthday? I saw a few things on social media. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah. We went down last night, and I picked up a Tesla. So
like no big deal, right?
Super stoked.
Yeah. How many exactly did you get?
Just one. I have been putting together. I'm a researcher by just nature, and so I've been putting together my PowerPoints on, you know, financially comparing it to a car that was going to take gas and the maintenance levels and the cost and. I don't think it took him much convincing after he gave up his sports car when we got married in December, and Trish was one of my lovely bridesmaids. But he gave up his sports car when we got married in December, and so I think he was missing having something that went a little bit faster than the Prius.
I have to admit, I don't have any real concept about Tesla is very much, like, I don't know anyone else that has one. I've never been in one, so.
Lois Melbourne.
She's never driven me around in the Tesla, of course, but, obviously it's, you mentioned there's some cost savings in terms of not buying gas. What's the draw for you? What else, what made it sort of the way you go?
Well, for me, it's completely electric. I never have to stop at another gas station. I can stop at superchargers and charge, but you know, we are huge on road trips, and we travel all the time with the kids. And so I could literally go from one end of the country to the other and through Canada completely for free. And so that part in itself. What?
How long does the charge last? I mean, is it very easy to, to drive
about,
it a long way?
It's about 280 miles. And then, which is about the point where you're going to want to stop, stretch your legs, and if you stop at a supercharger station, you grab food, it charges in full within an hour, and then you just keep going. And so that, it's equivalent to spending about, at home to charge, it's about $3 for a full tank of gas. Going equivalent. But then you look at all of the, and I'm the farthest anybody would call a liberal. You look at though all of the energy and the environmental aspects of it, and it's just really, it's cool. And I'm a tech geek, right? Like the fact that I have a 17-inch basically giant iPad that runs my car is so awesome. And then on the flip side, it's as fast as the Porsche 911 was.
Wow.
I can't wait until you come up and visit, and I'll take you for a ride in it. Or we
That screen thing is hilarious, though, Sarah, because I know when my wife got her car and it has kind of a screen in the middle, it's not a Tesla, but it has a bigger screen, for all that. And my son goes, oh, great, you guys tell me not to use my phone while I'm driving, then you put an iPod in the middle of the dashboard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I think is going to be the biggest thing to get used to. But it runs smooth. I never have to go in for oil changes. There's nothing, like, it's just pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it definitely fits my tech geek side of life, my nerd side. So.
Right. So is this something like you order and they make it for you, or was it there? Can you just go buy one? I'm not even.
Yeah. So you typically order it. So they sell direct. And this is another real, from a business standpoint, what's interesting is they actually do not sell to dealerships. So you buy directly from Tesla, which is why they've been blocked in a number of states.
Yeah, Texas just ruled that they can't sell Teslas because they're not going through dealers.
Right. Yeah, we actually can't buy in Wisconsin. So we had to go to Chicago, buy in Chicago, and then we'll have to transfer it to Wisconsin.
Interesting.
Because the unions are strong and hold it back. But it was by far, one of the best examples of a user experience and a buyer experience I've ever gone through in my life. And I don't know anybody else that could say that about a car purchase.
Right. No, it's usually really awful, you know.
Usually it's really awful. We went in, we put up all of the specs we wanted in a computer. They popped back and say, you can buy a new one, but we also happen to have one with 3,000 miles on it in Atlanta that we could transfer up to you in a week. And I said, okay, I'll take that one. So otherwise, it's a 2 to 3 month wait.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, good. Well, we've now turned it into the Tesla show.
Yeah.
Technology, right?
Now they should be sponsoring it. Yeah.
They should,
anyways,
right.
Let's get back to the real stuff.
Yeah, let's talk HR. So I thought we would just do, kind of off the cuff, kind of roundtable. I know there's a lot of HR-related topics floating around out there. What, Sarah, why don't we start with you? Like, what is really kind of top of mind that you've seen in the last maybe week or so of what's going on and really had you either fired up or thinking about it or just wanting to talk about it?
There's really two things. One, just a real quick, I've talked with a number of companies that went to NACE, which is the College and Campus Recruiting Conference this last month, right before SHRM. And we're really seeing a resurgence and change in how people are hiring on campus and the changes they're wanting to make and really pushing career services on campus to change, update, and do better. And it's kind of tied in with that. Then it was interesting that LinkedIn announced their HR hackathon full of just interns, so people that have never actually worked in the corporate world at all, and asking them to redesign how HR works. And so those, I think, are the two that have been top of mind, partially because I'm in the middle of research on college recruiting and interns. And so both of them really resonated with where my head has been at for the last 5-6 weeks.
Well, maybe before we get into the LinkedIn part, what are you seeing? You mentioned that in campuses they're doing it different. Is there anything like really specific that stands out, how the career services are trying to reach out to the kids?
We're halfway through research, so it doesn't close for another 2 weeks. So I can only do some preliminary, snapshots of what we're seeing. But one of the things we're really finding is that a lot of the corporate campus recruiters are kind of getting frustrated and fed up with the level of unpreparedness that students are getting on campus. And it was not something I expected to find in the research, but it's something that is overwhelmingly coming out from the responses. And a number of the campus teams feel they aren't trained and prepared to provide students with what's going on inside corporate America. And so there's a real disconnect, and I think something that we often talk to corporate about internship programs and how to make them meaningful and really powerful and help train. But I don't think there's enough time being spent teaching academics what's going on in the corporate world. I mean, as we all, I actually started, one of my first jobs was in a career services center at a college. And so I have seen that side of it, and it's people that have never worked in corporate. They've never been in recruiting. They've never done anything outside of a university, and yet we're telling them to train students to interview and how to apply for jobs and how to research, but nobody's telling them what's going on in regular corporate America for hiring. And I think it's a real challenge that we are completely missing out on. And our corporate recruiters are, honestly, a lot of them haven't set really strong strategies for campus hiring outside of very large universities. And so there's a lot of schools that are starting to get missed, and there's a lot of companies that are starting to pull back because they're not getting the results, which means a lot of students that aren't attending these big schools are not going to be seen. So we're going to have to really shift how we think about on-campus recruiting in the next 5 to 10 years.
I'd love to have you back on the show when you have your research finalized and maybe talk about that, because I don't think we've ever, as I'm trying to think through, I don't think we've ever really hit on the fact that connection between corporate and the campus services, because you're right, I think that's a big myth.
Yeah, it's something I have not ever seen research on and has always been on my radar. So when a vendor offered to sponsor me getting to research it, I was all in. So I'd love to come back and talk about it in August,
really
September.
Okay,
perfect.
Yeah, let's do
but
that.
But that ties in directly then to the LinkedIn HR hackathon with the interns where, you know, we have very different opinions.
Well, why don't you start with yours? Tell us kind of.
I've been talking forever. You go ahead and start.
Well, one thing. Hey, can I jump in on the whole recruiting and college thing? One of the things I saw recently that you didn't mention, and I don't know if you've locked in on this at all, but I thought this, being a father of two college students and knowing how much I could afford to put away and how much I couldn't afford to put away, there I read an article that some businesses, some companies, as part of their recruiting process, are doing loan-type, paying back your student loans as part of the benefit of signing up as a way to up the ante and sweeten the pot, so to speak. I thought that even if it's just simply it's a short-term increase in income for somebody potentially. I mean, really on the balance sheet, that's all it would be, right? So, you know, we pay your loans off over a five-year period, but then your income drops back down. So there's it's a way to tell somebody they're going to make a lot more money, but maybe shorten that time frame. I thought that was kind of a brilliant idea from a marketing standpoint. If I was a college graduate and somebody said, we'll pay off your loans, I'd jump all over that in a heartbeat.
There's a company that I have done some strategy work with who doesn't want it all publicized who they are, but they actually recruit at the high school level. So they hire a lot of two-year college educated people. So they actually start recruiting at the high school level and meet with the parents. They meet with the students that are trying to figure out where they're going to go and basically guarantee them jobs over the summer. They pick, 5 to 10 kids a year out of the high school, the local high school and surrounding high schools, pick 5 to 10 and say, we will guarantee you a job over breaks and over summer to come work here. In exchange, when you come here, if you do well for your 2 years of school, we're going to guarantee you a job, and we're going to pay your school back if you stay for 2 years. So it's a really innovative program, and it was started really much more out of they wanted to be able to give back to the community, but give back in a way that's going to also be beneficial for them as a business and really create long-term workers and long-term employees. And it's now been about 8 years since we set that strategy in place, and they've seen huge results from it. They've actually expanded it out to the four-year program, so now they're paying through for college on the four-year level and as well as the two-year. But in we don't really talk about the gap of what we're going to have. We're sending everybody off to four-year schools. These manufacturing and people that are relying on two-year and technical degrees are struggling heavily to find employees right now. So it's been a very successful program in a market that has really struggled to find people. And it doesn't cost them all that much. You know, a tech school is a fraction of the cost of a university.
Right.
Very cool.
You know, we used to have that in Big Four public accounting. We would, when I was at PwC, we would actually meet with the campus recruiters from the other competitors, and we would say, we're going to really work together at the high school level. And we would actually go out together to recruit the high school people for those very type of things, you know, summer internships, paying for college. And then we'd say, once they're in college, then it's, game on, we're going to compete for them. But it was really hard, and that was, late 90s, early 2000s. We're finding, now this was specifically for tax accountants, so people were tending to go on more of the audit side. But
because we all know everybody just goes crazy in high school to become a tax accountant.
Exactly, right? But you know what? I tell you what, if I had known maybe how much money they can make, that would certainly sway me if I were in high school. But, a little dry job, but it does work.
You still couldn't pay me to do it.
Yeah, it's pretty boring, but anyway. For the right person,
I sit in Excel research documents.
That's right. We're research geeks. What are we talking about? We're
Glass house.
Well, good. So, I mean, it sounds like there's That's exciting, actually, for me to hear that there is some a new topic brewing within talent acquisition, because I think, you know, you're right. We haven't really probably paid enough close attention from a campus hiring perspective on just how things are changing. I know I haven't. I've been out of campus recruiting for, gosh, more years than I care to admit. So I'll look forward to hearing that for sure. Thank you for listening to part one of episode 217. Please stay tuned for part two.